Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For my message this morning, I want to turn to four verses from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Two of the verses are taken from the 11th chapter, Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3. The other two verses are taken from the 16th chapter, Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. The first part of our text reads as follows, Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3. Now when John the Baptist in prison heard the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" The second part of our text, Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said unto the apostles, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So much for our text. Our expository remarks this morning are based on a composite text, a text taken from two separate chapters from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The first part of our text consists of a communication sent by John the Baptist through emissaries to Jesus. And John communicates this question to Jesus. He says, "Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" Or we can reduce that text to just four words and rephrase it in good King James English to simply read, "Art thou the Christ?" The second part of our text this morning consists of the words of St. Peter addressed to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 16, where St. Peter answers a question that Jesus put to him with these words, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Or again, we can reduce the text simply to these four words, "Thou art the Christ." What a stark contrast when we reduce our text of the morning to a sentence of four words. And how almost identical are these two sentences of four words? All we do is switch the order of the first two words. John the Baptist asks a question of Jesus, "Art thou the Christ?" Peter, the apostle, answers a question from Jesus. "Thou art the Christ." Now, what are we to make of this question of John the Baptist put to Jesus and this answer of Peter, the apostle, given to Jesus? Are we perhaps to find here a clue to two different persons, or two different personalities, or two different personality types? Are we to see in John the Baptist a person who is hesitant and uncertain regarding Jesus Christ? And are we to see in Peter, on the other hand, a person who is positive and assertive in reference to his evaluation of the person of Jesus Christ? Do we meet in the person of John the Baptist an example of the doubters of this world, who when they come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ can rise no higher than the level of a question? Are we to reduce John the Baptist to the level of a Pontius Pilate who says to Jesus in John 18, verse 33, "Are you the King of the Jews?" On the other hand, do we meet in the person of Simon Peter an example of the confessor of the Christian faith, who when they have found the Lord Jesus, confidently give testimony to this fact with a bold confession? Has Peter, here in Matthew 16, in the hill country, of Caesarea Philippi finally reached the level that his brother Andrew reached 2 years before this, when Andrew came to Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." In short, when we compare Matthew 11, verse 2 and 3, with Matthew 16, verse 15 and 16, are we in effect comparing the doubt and skepticism of John the Baptist with the confidence and the assurance of Peter the Apostle? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that this is not at all the point of comparison in these two texts. I want to suggest to you this morning that the point of comparison between John the Baptist and his question, "Art thou the Christ?" and Peter and his confession, "Thou art the Christ," must be found in quite a different direction. First of all, we note that Jesus' response to the question put to him by John is phrased in words of highest praise and commendation regarding the person of John. We read this: "Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothes are in king's palaces. But why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. For this is the one of whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he will prepare your way before me.' Truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Secondly, we note Jesus' response to Peter when he makes his great confession. And that response we may classify as, first of all, a gentle reminder to Peter, and secondly, six short verses later, words of sternest rebuke to Peter. We find in the remarks of Jesus, after he has heard the great confession from Peter, no words or no basis for praising Peter's person. First of all, the Lord Jesus reminds Peter, and he says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. You've been blessed, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then six short verses down from this, this same Jesus is forced to turn to the same Peter and say to him this: "Get thee behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block for me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's interest." Well then, what then is the point of comparison when we relate the reaction of John the Baptist to Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" and the reaction of Peter to Jesus, "You are the Christ." The point of comparison comes to the fore when we take note not of the person of John the Baptist and Peter, but of the place that John the Baptist and Peter the Apostle have in the divine order of things. Where does John the Baptist fit into the divine scheme and plan of redemption? Jesus tells us in no uncertain words. In Matthew 11, verse 13, he says, "All the prophets and the law prophesied until John." And if you care to accept it, John himself is the Elijah who was to come. Elijah, the last name uttered as the Old Testament scriptures come to a close, when the curtain comes down with a thud on the floor in the last two verses of the prophet of Malachi, there's only one word, one name given, and that's the name Elijah. Look for him. He's yet to come. John the Baptist is the last man up in the batting order of the team called Old Testament saints. With John the Baptist, the era of preparation comes to its appointed and to its foretold conclusion. John the Baptist sums up the law in this simple phrase, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. John the Baptist sums up all the prophets with this simple phrase, behold the Lamb of God who takes away all of the world's sins. With John the Baptist's appearance, the old order is ready to fade away. Where does the Apostle Peter fit into the divine scheme or plan of redemption? Not at the end, but at the beginning. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Saint Peter is the leadoff man in the batting order called New Testament saints. With the confession of Saint Peter, the time of fulfillment has come into view. The old order, the time of the law and gospel, is ready to fade. A new order, the time of the gospel, is about to replace it. The law and the prophets have fulfilled their function in the ministry of John the Baptist. Here we have the authentic point of comparison between the question the Baptist put to Jesus and the confession that the apostle makes of Jesus. It's not their persons, not the person of John versus the person of Peter. It's their place in God's divine ordering of things. Why do we find the Christological, the basic Christological question on the lips of John? Because in the person of John the Baptist, we come to the last of the prophets. We come to the terminus of the law, and it is the function of the law and the prophets to lead us to Christ. And in the person of John the Baptist, the law and the prophets have fulfilled their function. In John, we see the longing, we see the limit, and we see also the limitation of the whole Old Testament as they reach their final expression with this one question, you, Jesus, are you the Christ? That's what the Old Testament is all about. The Old Testament breathes its last breath in the words of John, the last of the prophets. And these are the last words that Scripture records of John the Baptist. Art thou the Christ? The Old Testament teaches man to ask the right questions. But why do we find the basic Christological confession on the lips of Peter? Because the Father put it there. That's what Jesus said. And why did he put it there? Because the time for which the Father had been preparing since the foundation of the world had now arrived. Peter stood, as it were, on the new ground of a new age, ready to build a new building, a new church. The new man had arrived, Jesus Christ, the man from heaven. The second Adam had come, who would pay in full the price for the sin committed by the first Adam and all its ugly consequences. In the span of 1 year, the promise to Israel and the question of John have become the realization and the arrival of redemption and the confession of Peter. Between John and his question and Peter and his confession, all history has turned the corner. Brethren in Christ, we no longer stand with John the Baptist under the Old Testament and the law. We no longer stand with that valiant company of seers and prophets, of whom St. Peter says, they inquired, they sought diligently, who is the person? When is the time? We don't stand with them. You and I, we stand under the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We take our stand on the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh, the blood shed, the body broken for us and for our sins. We stand today with a holy apostolic band, and we make the same confession that Peter made, and we make it on the basis of the same divine revelation sent down into our hearts. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Of John the Baptist and of all those who went before him, the scripture says this: all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. The better thing that God provided was the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now they, with us, are made perfect in him, in Christ, the perfect Savior, who has appeared to bring salvation to all men, the perfect sacrifice that has put away all sin. Redemption is now complete. The way into the holy place has been opened. Heaven is the eternal inheritance of all those who by God's grace can answer the Old Testament question put by John, art thou the Christ? With that great New Testament confession given by Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.